Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "I would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "He is a boy with 5 small, barely loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in the place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish.
Cheers, Scarlett. Thanks, mate. I'll just adjust the microphone a bit on my height. Well read. Lovely. So today, as you know, we've already talked about a bit, is Giving Sunday. So naturally, the theme of the service is going to be giving. I think when you reflect on giving, sometimes it can be difficult to talk about sometimes. And I think sometimes it is something that we don't want to have to think about too much. I was sort of thinking about that. I was like, why is that? Why is it that we kind of sometimes recoil from thinking about giving? Why is it? I think part of the reason, perhaps the main reason, perhaps one of many reasons, is I think sometimes it's just very easy to feel overwhelmed by the problems we have in the world. Just spent a small amount of time on Google earlier. I mean, global poverty, 800 million go hungry, 2.3 billion have no access to something as basic as a safe toilet that's safe to use. War-torn countries like Democratic Republic of Congo, 3.8 million people have been displaced from their homes. Some horrible statistics around the violence against women there as well. Some truly terrible things happening in that country. And then we look at climate change. There's this sort of ever-present threat, it feels, of the climate changing. They're talking about that possibly pushing 100 million people back into poverty, back into the poverty that they've climbed out of by 2030. And there are also problems closer to home. We heard about some in the Kick London talk last week. Decline of Christian faith in this country. The way our social networks have changed with technology, and obviously that can be a good thing, but I think sometimes it can be a very difficult thing when it comes to children and young adults, their parents not fully understanding what they're able to do with these mobile devices. And then also broader problems around the breakdown of family networks and family relationships. And so I think sometimes when you think of giving, you look at the bigger picture. And I think sometimes that bigger picture, it's fair to say, is actually quite bleak. That bigger picture actually points to the vast suffering that people have in parts of the world, hardship and pain, which we have little or no answer to. Problems so big and complex that when it comes to giving, it sort of makes it difficult to think how anything we could give would be able to make a difference. We end up feeling kind of hopeless, like our contribution won't make any difference in the face of such overwhelming problems. And I think in the passage we've just looked at, the passage John 6, the disciples in Jesus face a similarly overwhelming problem. 5,000 people, 5,000 hungry people. And worse than that, it's just 5,000 men. That was a headcount of the guys. Including those men, there would have been women, children, elderly relatives. So, all in all, much more than 5,000 people, all needing to be fed, and just by Jesus and his 12 disciples. An overwhelming problem. It's interesting when we come to this story that actually it's the only miracle story that's repeated in all four of the Gospels. Generally, John doesn't kind of repeat what the other Gospels have already been through. He sort of doesn't bother to do that. But with this one, he does. This one is a bit different, and John regards it as worth telling again. Why is that? Why is this passage so important? Why should we pay so much close attention to it that each of the four Gospels decide to relay it? So we look at this problem, and the problem is twofold. So they're on this mountain place. Mountains generally not been a great place to get food, I imagine. Haven't been to too many, but there didn't seem to be too many shops at the ones I was at. Apart from Snowdon, actually. Snowdon has a shop, doesn't it? Does it have a shop or a railway? Anyway, but that's the exception, certainly. So the problem is twofold. I mean, they're up a mountain. Firstly, they simply do not have the money to deal with a problem of that scale. They simply do not have the money. In verse 7, Phillips tells us that actually it would need 200 silver coins to feed that many people, 200 denarii. And that's basically, the NIV is kind of helpful. It says 8 months' wages, and that's based on the idea that sort of a silver coin would be like a really kind of quite nice wage for a day. So 200 coins, they reckon, around about 8 months' wages. So some rough maths, a bit more Googling. Average salary in the UK is 29,000, apparently. That's what the first thing on Google says. Actually, a lot more than I thought, to be honest. But there. So average salary, 29,000 in the UK. Divide that by 12, times it by the 8 months, 19K. Modern day, we're talking 19K to feed this number of people. So suddenly, you're on a mountain in the middle of nowhere. Jesus says, feed these people. Well, that's going to take 9K, 19K. 19K, it's not looking too good suddenly, is it? Very much doubt they'd have 19K. There's no credit cards, no internet banking in those days. They are well and truly stuck when it comes to finding that amount of money. And we also, as we say, they're at the top of a mountain. The other Gospels point to the remoteness of where they are. They are somewhere very remote. As everyone involved in charity work in this country or abroad will know, you can't just throw money at a problem and expect it to go away. There's the logistics of getting the food to that remote part of the country, and it would be absolutely staggering, the logistics involved. It would be near impossible. Find it bad enough on a Sunday afternoon when it's a little bit late, trying to find somewhere that has milk and bread for my breakfast the next day. Especially when I was in Newcastle, it sort of felt like, it's not so bad in London actually, I found, but when I was in Newcastle, it'd be a real problem. You'd be suddenly eating sort of tomato ketchup on bread for breakfast and stuff. Real problem. So there's no way, logistically, they can get that amount of food to that amount of people. There's just no point. The disciples are in the middle of nowhere. To summarise, not enough money, and even if they did have the money, no practical way of getting that food to that amount of people. I think it's fair to say an overwhelming problem, an utterly overwhelming problem. So first of all, we have an enormous problem. And then second point, what do the disciples come up with? So they have an overwhelming problem. Jesus turns to the disciples and says, right, what are we going to do then? What do the disciples bring up? Verse 8, Andrew, here's a small boy, a child, with 5 small loaves and 2 fish. There they are, crowds of people, far as the eye can see, a multitude of people who need feeding. And what do they produce to Jesus? 5 loaves and 2 small fish. There's actually something quite comical about the contrast there. Suddenly this massive group of people, just a little, and then it's just, oh yeah, well, we've got this. Oh great, fantastic. a totally inadequate response, a response that falls a long, long way short of solving the problem. And I think it's one of those things that when it comes to thinking about giving, we sometimes look at the vastness of the problem and we feel overwhelmed. Our Giving Sunday is looking at broken relationships, sex education for young people in a modern world, looking at the horrors of the Democratic Republic of Congo and what's been happening there. Some people refer it to as Africa's World War. Single mothers in this country, often vulnerable and struggling to cope. And then the lack of sanitation in much of the world, where people lack safe toilets and clean water. When we look at the vastness of the problems, we often feel like anything we could do or give would be nothing. Like the 5 loaves and 2 fish were totally inadequate. It would fall a long way short of solving the problem. But as we all know in the passage, Jesus takes that inadequate response, Jesus takes our efforts that do fall so short, and Jesus makes it enough. Jesus uses it to feed the vast multitude. The lesson of the story is that Jesus has the power to turn small things into great things. And this is a lesson that runs throughout the Bible, throughout the Gospel. God takes the small things, the inadequate things, the broken things of this world, and turns them into something great. We all come here this evening from different places, different financial places certainly, but more importantly, different places spiritually as well. Some of you may be sitting here today feeling very conscious about how you failed this week, how you have sinned and fallen short of a life worthy of the living God. If you're feeling like that, then I think the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish can speak to you also. You may be asking how you could ever be good enough. You may wonder how what you're able to do will ever get you near solving the vast and big problem of your sinfulness and fallenness before God. But this is where God answers you with the message of the cross. Because at the cross, God takes on your inadequacy, your sin, your unholiness, and as unlikely and impossible as it may seem, he makes you adequate, he makes you sinless, and he makes you holy before the living God. At the cross, Jesus makes you right, gives you the right to become a child of God. At the cross, Jesus gives you the right to become a child of God. And so this Giving Sunday, we're looking at how we can, in all our own small ways, affect those big problems. And I think Dan's already mentioned that what they actually practically are going to do, that logistical side. How are you going to get the bread up the mountain? Logistically, LVA looking to hire a male support worker to be a role model and a light to young people in the murky world of sex and relationships. Rebuilders who are offering like a Bible-based trauma counselling session to those people whose lives have, you know, really been ravished by that conflict in Democratic Republic of Congo. Riverbank continuing its work with vulnerable single mothers in our community, and St. Peter's Kampala, who importantly are going to be constructing new and hygienic toilets for the block, for their church. Like, again, some people have seen that firsthand and know how important that is, and just how far, you know, that will be able to help them. What we give may be small, and it may feel inadequate, but through faith, God can make it go a long way. So I think that's the story. That's the sort of bottom lines of it in a way. I just want to talk about 2 things quickly before we come to a close. And I think one of the things I was thinking about it was, actually at church we probably do talk a lot about giving. We do kind of address the spiritual aspect of giving, and it is a very spiritual thing. It's something that we must pray, think, and be guided about. And I think sometimes we think so much about the giving that we actually maybe don't think so much about the bits that come before giving. And I guess that comes down to a broader question of the use of money, and that in itself is something that could take a very long time to unpack and talk about. But I would recommend something that I sort of had a little listen to today, when I was writing the sermon, which was today, is John Wesley's sermon, The Use of Money. I don't know if anyone's come across it. It's a bit sort of ye olde English, so it can be a bit difficult to read, but put it on YouTube and you can listen to it. And I just think it's a really great example. It is a bit, you know, it is a couple of hundred years old, but it's just a great example of laying out, actually, as Christians, what is a good way to use the money that we have. And he sort of breaks it down to three. He says, gain as much as you can, gain all that you can. And talks about, you know, don't rest on your laurels, but actually think about how you can earn it, how you can earn it sort of spiritually and lawfully in a way that's right with God. And then he talks about save all you can, don't waste it, don't throw it away. It's a gift that God has given you, you've worked hard for. Don't waste it, save it for what is important. If you have a family, it's your duty to look after that family first. And then finally, he says, give all that you can. And again, that's where the giving part comes in. It's sort of, you shouldn't just stop at the first two, gaining all you can and saving all you can, but actually it's that third one, giving all you can, which the previous two enable you to do. And so it's just a thought, if you want to look up that sermon, that'll give you good guidance on the use of money. It's something that maybe we neglect as a church, or maybe just me personally, but it's sort of those three bullet points, gain all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And he breaks it down in a really practical way, a way that's still practical for us today. And I found it, you know, I remember the first time I read it when I was younger, found it really illuminating. And I hope that maybe you can find it illuminating if you dig it out as well. So that's The Use of Money by John Wesley. And it's a really practical guide to how we should use our money. And so finally, I just want to draw our attention back to the passage that we've been looking at today. And I think it's often interpreted as a parable about receiving. So the crowd is hungry, and Jesus feeds them. You know, we have physical needs God will provide. We have spiritual needs that only Jesus can satisfy. I think that's the way it's often taken. It's a parable about receiving and how God can give to you. And I think actually, though, it is very much a story about giving as well. In the Gospel of Mark, so I mentioned earlier that all the Gospels use it, Mark mentions that actually they went out and asked the crowd to see what they could get from the crowd. And the other Gospels don't really say where the loaves and the fish come from exactly. But for John, he gives this small detail that the other ones don't have. He just clarifies and explains where those loaves and fishes come from. And if you remember where they come from, a little boy, a child. I wonder, when the disciples were walking about trying to find food, I wonder if there were some adults out there who secretly had a little bit of food stashed away. When the disciples went by asking, they may have felt like, should I give some? Should I give what I've got? They kind of thought, it's kind of a bit of one of those moments like, well, should I give to this charity or should I go up to the altar for prayer? It's kind of one of those moments where you kind of have that feeling that maybe you should, but you kind of hold back a little bit. I've felt it plenty of times. They might have even reached into their pocket or into their basket or whatever, about to hand over the food that they had, but then they doubted. Is this food really going to make a difference? Is this money really going to matter? Is this prayer really going to help solve this problem I've got? As they waited, the disciples might have brushed past and moved into the next section of the crowd, and then suddenly it's too late. Suddenly, that moment has passed. And it's like, well, there's no point now. I've kind of missed my opportunity for it. But the child has seen the need and selflessly and with faith taken the opportunity to give up the small amount of food that he did have. That child acted with faith, and his faith was rewarded as Jesus took something small and turned it into something great. And tonight I wonder, is God challenging some of you here today? Is God challenging you not to be like that adult that never quite got round to giving his bit of food, But instead to be the child who steps forward in faith. It might be that God is calling you here today to give Forgiving Sunday. That might be something that God is calling you for. It might be actually just a general reminder about charity. It took me a long, I always had this sense of like, oh, giving to charity is important. But it took me a long time to actually get around to setting anything up. Is this a prompt for you now? Is this a reminder that actually that's something you've had on your mind, had on your heart, and that's something you want to do? It might be something more spiritual. It might be that God is calling you tonight to step forward to the altar, to step forward to a friend, to turn to somebody and say, actually, there is something that I need praying for. There is something that I need ministering for. There's a problem I have, and I need someone to pray for it and give me advice. It could be another thing. Do you have a picture? Do you have a story, a testimony that you want to share with George and he can relay on to us? Or it could be perhaps a reminder, a prompt, to give your life again to Christ, either for the first time, or for the second, or the third, or the fourth time. I think no matter what it is, it could be any one of those things, or even more things. I think no matter what it is, I feel that God is giving you this prompt here and now. Don't be the adult who lets the opportunity pass. Be the child who acts with faith and has their faith rewarded.